Welcome to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. I'm Anthony.
And I'm Ashton.
Father-son fun talk on sports, life, and friendship. Coming up on episode 74, take the mound, toe the rubber, and bring the heat. We'll go one-on-one and best of with Major League starting pitcher and Blue Jays fan favorite, Jesse Litch. Trick or treat fans, father and son will go gold, silver, bronze for Halloween-inspired athlete names. And we'll head for home on episode 74 with our special segments, All-Pro Go, a Did You Know Sports Spotlight, and Champs and Chums personal salutes to our stars on and off the field. That's all coming up on episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Champs and Chums. Happy October, everybody. Happy fall. We hope you're doing well. It's Anthony and Ashton in the broadcast booth. We're so glad. We're delighted that you're with us for another stirring edition of Champs and Chums, father-son fun talk about sports, life, and friendship. It's episode 74. And right by my side here for this next great monthly episode of our show is the co-host and star of Champs and Chums, Ashton. Ashton, how you doing, my man?
I am doing outstanding and can't wait to get the opening pitch started on
This man is 74. In a baseball feel. I think you've been struck by something that they've called. And I don't think there's a cure for it, Ashton. But it's a good kind of thing to have. You've been struck by Blue Jays fever because you are off to one riveting start.
I sure have been. We'll get into Blue Jays talk very soon.
What is the symptoms of Blue Jay fever?
Definitely a lot of energy.
A lot of electricity.
Yeah.
Do you feel your veins pulsing blue maybe?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself reaching for some kind of Blue Jays jersey with every moment? Is that the sign of Blue Jays? Actually, here's another symptom of Blue Jays fever, everybody. It's when you lose your vocal cords. And I actually lost my voice for a little bit. Anyways, we got to get into the show. What a wild way to start this outstanding October episode. And yeah, we're so glad that you're with us. But Ashton, let's get in before we get into, because there's going to be tons of baseball talk, and we got a special surprise announcement of our best of guest fans as well too. But why don't we get into a little school talk, my man? Because it's always an award winning day, always an award winning week, and always an award winning month and year. But you just received some great news. Why don't you share with the fans what you did? And this is clearly a recognition of what you've given, not just this year, not the previous year, but your whole life at this school.
Yeah, so last month I applied for RLC, which is Roundtree Leadership Council, which is for grade eights, and it's a part of a council where you plan events at the school, and you're really a big part
of school life.
Of school life, yes, and around the school as well. And just a few days ago, I received the news that I got the RLC Executive Member, which is the highest RLC honor.
Well, hats off to you, Ashton. Speaking of baseball, hats off any day. That's incredible. Fist bumps, big fist bumps for you. That is an amazing appointment. I believe it's only one of, you're one of only two students.
Yes.
Congratulations to the other student, Amitage, who was in that role, and then obviously a part of a smaller group too of this council. So that is amazing, man. You deserve it. It's great that you've been recognized for that. How are you feeling about it? And sort of what are the next steps?
I'm feeling really great. I've been at my school that I've been going to, Roundtree, for, it's got to be 12 years now, and
over 11 for sure.
Yeah, and just throughout my years at Roundtree, I've really been trying to become a leader, and definitely the teachers and Roundtree has definitely helped me become a great leader, and that's what makes me have great qualities as well that I was able to add in my application. And the next steps are already starting because we're already planning our first assembly, which is at the time of this recording next week.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, getting right into it, that's the way it's done. And that's just a tremendous accomplishment. So proud of you. You know, these kind of honors is not just a recognition of a student that's doing well academically, but a student that really, truly embodies the character, integrity, leadership, responsibility, mentorship, and enthusiasm for what is your school. So hats off to you, my man. Incredible appointment. Enjoy the experience. You'll keep learning, and that's just a great recognition from the school leadership of what you certainly are becoming, because I know there's lots more to come. All right, well, good stuff. Let's move on. Anything else school you wanted to highlight? Actually, I believe, I don't know if we've announced this for the fans, but you made the school's flag football team.
Yeah, I did. It was a series of tryouts, and throughout the tryouts, I tried my hardest. I tried out for quarterback, and I made it. I'm the starting quarterback for Roundtree's flag football elementary team.
Well, that's some heady stuff, man. So I guess you guys are training and preparing for a big tournament that I guess at the time of this recording, it is probably only just a week or so away.
Yeah, less than a week, 6 days.
Wow. Tell the fans, how is the team looking? What quarterback do you model off of? Are you a Josh Allen type quarterback? Do you like to stay and withstand all the heat in the pocket? Are you mobile? Do you try to throw the with the big gun right down the field? What's your style?
Well, I can definitely say I can throw. I think my gym teachers were pretty impressed with my arm. And thanks to baseball, it's been improving and getting a lot stronger. I model myself trying to be a Josh Allen type quarterback. Very mobile, and also can make hard throws as well, and throwing down the field as well. But I can definitely make some hard throws. You know, like, for example, Derek Jeter, you know, when he made that throw at shortstop, I can kind of make those throws with still a good spiral on it.
Well, and that's actually some good emerging talent if you can make those kind of throws, because Josh Allen, when he kind of has to withstand the pressure of the defense, he can make those, what do they say? Like, you could just sort of throw it on a clothesline and make those throws in tight spaces.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. Hopefully I get a chance to see, if I can't be there in person, to watch some video highlights of this, because I never would I have thought. I only played 1 year high school football, everybody, but never did I. And I wasn't a quarterback. I was a wide receiver, and I think I came on a few plays. But Ashton, you're the starting quarterback, so well done, my man. And we actually haven't really talked about you playing football or have a love and passion for it. Is there any particular teams? We've gone down to some Argo games, a handful of Argo games over the years.
Yeah, I love the Argos. Love the atmosphere there. Love the when we go down early, the tailgates down there are amazing. And also,
where you see the Maple Leaf Arena voice as well, yes, too. We ran into Mike Ross last year.
Yes, and I think one thing on my bucket list is to go to a Buffalo Bills game. It doesn't have to be in Buffalo, but, I mean, just going down to see my favorite quarterback play, Josh Allen.
Well, that's really nice to say. Hopefully we'll be able to make that happen because you're sitting next to a guy that actually is... Actually, I have experienced a Bills game, fans, but I only experienced it in Toronto. That's when the Bills and Toronto series was happening, closer to a decade ago, I guess. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, being part of Bills Mafia there. But boy, I see some of the images and descriptions of Bills Mafia, and wow, they are quite hardcore fans. Some of them jumping from the back of their flatbed onto these tables, Ashton. That is quite a thing. You don't see yourself doing that, do you?
I mean, I might, I've had an interest for football, definitely, and, just, like, throwing the football around sometimes, and, just recently I've been finding a love for football again, especially just, knowing that I can throw the football well and, like, make some good, high pressure throws is great for me and my team, and hopefully one day we can get down to a Bills game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to make that happen, man. That'd be a lot of fun for sure. Well, let's move from throwing footballs to throwing baseballs, because we talked about it on last month's episode. You had the honor and the privilege after, as you say, just, working your tail off and really demonstrating yourself well at tryouts, that you will be starting another season in competitive baseball representing the great Brampton Royals. And the fans want to know, how's everything going with the training?
It's going great. So we did a few exhibition games in September, a few in October, I'm pretty sure. Some of them got canceled, though, due to rain. But we've been doing Monday gym practices, so at a school. And then Saturdays we do, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, fans, but Train Me Fit Brampton. It's a great place. Shout out to
Coach
James.
Folks there, and yep. Coach James, seems like you only had... I guess this is your forthcoming is your second session, but I think you guys raved about what this guy actually isn't part of his resume that he was, he played on an NFL squad.
Yeah. Former NFLer and former CFLer as well.
Wow. Now do you know who he played for the CFL? I'm curious.
I think I need to search that up.
Okay.
But
search that up.
Yeah. I will search that up, fans, and I will find out. His work ethic is amazing, and the training we do is pretty hardcore, but he's doing it for the benefit of us, right? And he's helping us improve as ball players and just really be up there to compared to other teams at the start of the season.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, it's, as I said to you many times, it's what you're doing now that's going to make the difference of how you perform in May when the when the season starts. So
I've heard you say a lot, the season actually starts now.
Well, thanks for listening, and hopefully you're putting that in action, because it's true. I mean, the more you can, what did I say? It's making gains to be bigger, faster, and stronger. And it seems like Coach Casey and the rest of the coaching staff, the leadership of the Royals, really making a push and a commitment to have you guys live that, believe that and live that, because you guys, if you're bigger, faster, and stronger and more prepared now, and that keeps growing, you will be lights out by the time the season starts. So, yeah, and I mean, that's championship pedigree planning there for sure. And let's hope it all works out. But you're going to get more talk on the Royals and all of Ashton's great travels and experiences getting ready for the big season in 2026. But speaking of championship pedigree, Ashton, we got to bring it back because it was opening pitch of this segment. We started on it. How about those Blue Jays?
Yeah.
How about those Blue Jays fans? Your Toronto Blue Jays are in the World Series. Like, Ash, I can't fathom this. And we've been in an incredible adventure watching the games, having the privilege to catch one of the DS games together. What do you make of what this 74-win team in 2024 has now done in 2025? And it ain't over yet.
Man, I think the 2024 Blue Jays, they knew they needed to make some moves on their roster. They got some guys in the bullpen. They got Jeff Hoffman. They also got Louis Varland, a great ad. And they also got Jimenez as well. He's one of the best defensive second basemen. And now he's playing shortstop. And it looks like, actually, Bo is actually good to go for the World Series. It looks like he was taking ground balls at second base. So it looks like he might play second base.
Well, he kind of leaked it, actually, during the throes of that amazing celebration back on, at the time of this recording, earlier this week on the Monday night Game 7, it'll be a Canadian heritage moment when George Springer went deep. Anyways, coming back to Bo,
yep.
I think in one of the interviews with the American networks, he says, yep, I'll be playing. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is great. But, I mean, Ashton, the larger question is, and I guess we'll find this out, at the time of this recording, it's the night before Game 1, big Game 1, Blue Jays Dodgers. They announced their lineup, I believe, and their rosters at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Bo's clearly going to be on, but how would you integrate him in? Like, you just mentioned Jimenez. Jimenez has got a gold glove. He's been mm-hmm. playing great defense. He's near the bottom of the order, but he's had timely hits.
Yeah, I mean,
how are you going to work Bo into the lineup?
That's tough. Personally, I would say don't put him near the top of the lineup. He still has to get back into the feel of it, and I think putting him at second base is better because I don't think putting him at shortstop would be a good idea, but second base is a bit more easier.
That very well might be the great insights there, Ash. And IKF has been playing some good ball. He had that big single to actually get on base,
yes,
right?
Yes,
the seeing eye single before and somebody else got on. Was it Barger? I can't remember.
I believe it was Barger, yes.
Yeah, it might have been Barger. He got on as well, too, or somebody walked. But anyhow, actually it was Jimenez. Anyways, where was I going? Yeah, IKF, very serviceable, can play multiple positions on a team. That might be very well the spot where Bichette draws into mm-hmm. the lineup. But, you know, I didn't know if you saw this, but Bichette was taking some grounders at first base today. Is there a move afoot where Vladdy, who's been the superstar, the ALCS MVP... is there a scenario where he's DHing? I don't know what's going on.
Well,
here.
It's either if Vladdy's not playing first, it'll be, I don't know if he's in the lineup for the World Series, but Ty France, I'm not sure if he's in the lineup or not, but I mean, who knows? The Jays are trying stuff out. I mean, this is a imposing Dodgers lineup with Shohei, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman as well, who's got power in his bat. So if Vladdy's not playing first, he's going to either be playing third base, which Barger has been doing a pretty steady job at third base, or he's going to be DHing, which... I mean,
I like Barger over in the outfield. I don't know. Barger's got that gun from the outfield.
Yeah, Clement's
too.
Been good too at third base as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ernie Clement is he actually, I thought I saw a stat that he led the American League with 22 runs saved. So that goes to show you this strategy that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have preached for years about run prevention and finding the right kind of player to integrate into a team like this. It has paid off. It has paid off in spades. Yeah. And I am remiss for not putting a punctuation on your guy, my guy, our guy, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who, I mean, honestly, the $500 million they spent on this guy, they've already made it back, Rogers.
Yes, yes.
This guy went yard, and your champs and chums were there for the DS when he went grand salami over the left field fence, Ashton.
Yeah, that has to go down as one of the best Jays home runs. I mean, you just knew it was gone. Off the sound of the bat, it was gone.
And I mean, I was screaming so loud at that. It was an 11. What did it end up being? 11?
It was 13 to 7.
That's right. Was it that close?
Yeah,
right?
it started to get closer.
But
to
at
the
one
end.
Point, fans, it was 11-0.
Yes.
And everybody was beside themselves. The 50,000 people that got a chance to go into that that game, game two. I mean, I was high-fiving, slapping hands, screaming like I never did before.
With Jays fans.
Yeah, it was such an electric
atmosphere down
there.
Great thing about Jays baseball.
There.
Yes.
And the thing was, fans, is that happened, almost 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't know if my voice would have been fit to actually broadcast this episode, but it's thankfully it's come back. Ashton, why don't you describe the feeling being at you were at a playoff series, a wild card series game before, but never a DS. What was it like against the big bad Yankees?
Well, man, it was electric in there. Like the amount of decibels probably that were
110
it reached.
Is that like a plane or something? I don't know.
That's about a jackhammer.
What's a jackhammer?
Yeah,
oh.
That's about a jackhammer. 120
than that.
120 is a jet engine. So pretty close to a jet engine. Like that's how loud Rogers Center can be. And it was just so electric. And you could feel the energy, the passion that the Jays fans had. And I think the Jays knew that they were not just playing for a city, but they were playing for a whole country, a whole nation of Canada. And that Yankee series was a total mismatch. The Yankees lose.
The Yankee lose. Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero. Boy, it's been really nice to see how much heart, passion, hustle. This guy can be Prime Minister of Canada for my vote, because this guy has put everything on the line. He truly wants it all. Like that marketing of the Jays, I gotta tell you, hats off to you guys, being a marketer myself. Want it all. It's played out like this. And we ain't done yet. Ashton, the fans want to know. Father and son fearless prediction time. What are you calling for this Battle of the Titans, the Jays versus the Dodgers?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers looking to go back-to-back with, as I mentioned earlier, a great lineup. Shohei, Mookie, Freddie Freeman, some other guys, and definitely great pitching staff as well.
Oh, yeah, they got the top to bottom. This pitching staff is deep.
Yeah, and the Jays looking to do it after 32 years of just not making it. And, you know, it's going to be a tough one for the Jays, but I think they're going to do it. Let's go Blue Jays.
Let's go Blue Jays. I think it's going seven. I think your Blue Jays are going to win on November the 1st. It is going to be an epic series, and we're looking forward, just like you, to do it. And, I mean, I should say the game that Ashton and I went down to, and this guy gets the ball. He gets the starting assignment as the starting a pitcher in the game one of the World Series. Treya Savage, Ashton, 22 years old, and this guy is handling himself like a 12 year veteran.
Yeah, he's so mature when, like, he's so composed on the mound, but he's also mature in interviews as well. But when we were there, he got the start. And I'm pretty sure it was his first home start in the Blue Jays uniform. And he was outstanding. He was dicing all night. And I think the advantage that the Jays will have as he's starting game one in the World Series is that the Dodgers do not have a book on him. So they don't know
That's
about
true.
Him. And I mean, he deserved the curtain call that the Jays fans gave him. Jays fans don't give curtain calls much, but that was truly something remarkable in Jays history, for sure.
Well, it sure was. That splitter will be going, and I think you're bang on. The Dodgers don't really have a book on him. Excuse me. So we'll have to see how that all goes. But Ashton, speaking of young, impressive pitchers, speaking of Blue Jay fan favorites, we've got an amazing guest that fits all those categories and so much more. Ashton, tell all the fans who's our best of guest coming up on episode 74.
Major league pitcher and Blue Jays fan favorite, Jesse Litch.
Jesse Litch coming up on the show, Blue Jay fan favorite from 2007 to 2011. Ashton, what a great get. At a time when the Jays are on top of the world, we just mentioned Treya Savage. This man, Jesse Litch, in his first ever major league starting assignment, won his first major league game, virtually went the distance, one out away from a complete game. I think he struck out four in that game. It was an incredible performance. He is one. Jesse Litch, our special guest, is part of a small group in Blue Jays history who earned a win in their first major league start. So Jesse Litch, let's go Blue Jays. He's coming up on the show. All right, Ashton, it is now time to move to our father-son free-for-all segment. And fans, geez, we didn't even talk about Halloween. You know, like, Halloween is coming down at the bottom of the month. At the time of this recording, Ashton, thoughts or insights, previews that you want to share with the fans, what your costume may be for Halloween?
I think the most lovable and the most money-saving one is probably just a baseball player.
Oh, baseball player. Yeah, though that one... That won't be quite fun, and you play the part very well. But, fans, Halloween's coming up, and we've done this in previous years of Champs and Chums. Your co-hosts here, father and son, have poured through the creative exercise of finding our gold, silver, bronze for Halloween-inspired athlete names. And, boy, we have got a bootyful. Get that, Ashton? Bootyful.
Yes.
Did I scare you, fans? Maybe. Okay. We got a bootiful lineup of candidates for Halloween-inspired athlete names. Ashton, take it away with your bronze medal.
My bronze medal is Spencer Knight.
Oh, Spencer Knight. And connect the dots for the fans that may not be catching on. Why Spencer Knight?
Well, when you go out trick-or-treating with friends or family or people you know, you will be going in the night.
Most people trick-or-treat in the night. Great pick. Great goaltender. Tell all the fans a little bit about Spencer Knight.
So, Spencer Knight is a goaltender, and his glove hand is left, and he is played for the Blackhawks and currently the Panthers. So his playing career has been from 2021 to present day, and he was drafted 13th overall in 2019 by the Florida Panthers. And
first round pick.
And as well, he began playing ice hockey at the age of 2, and he started playing as a goaltender when he was 10 years old, and he was a fan of the New York Rangers, and he was partially motivated to goaltend by watching Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh, well, Hank, the great Henrik Lundqvist, Hall of Famer for sure. What a great pick. That is Ashton's bronze medal for Halloween-inspired athlete names, Spencer Knight. Okay, Ashton, I'm stealing your idea here and your thought going along the Knight train, because I have picked a baseball player that goes back, and his last name is Knight. He was a third baseman for the New York Mets. His name is Ray Knight. And Ray Knight, watched him play when I was about your age for the New York Mets. He was a third baseman, first baseman, ended up being a manager. Wow, Ray Knight, wow, he's 72 years old now. His major league debut was September the 10th, 74 for the Cincinnati Reds. His last major league appearance was October 2nd, 1988. A very strong batting average of .271, 84 home runs, and 595 runs batted in. He was a manager, Ray Knight. Ray Knight was a manager as for the Cincinnati Reds from 96 to 97, and then again in 2003. Two-time All-Star, World Series champion, and he was the World Series MVP in 86 when the Miracle Mets won. I think it was the Mets. Yeah, the Mets won in 86. That is Ray Knight. Okay, fans. Ashton, it's over to you now for your silver medal.
My silver medal is Mike Myers.
Now, you're going to have to explain this one for me, because when I think of Halloween-inspired athlete names and I hear of Michael Myers, I'm thinking of the guy that's got his cap on, the Canadian actor. Do I got the right guy here?
No, that's not the right guy. He is actually a left-handed relief pitcher, and he's a baseball player. So, you might have been confused because...
But Mike Myers, explain the connection to Mike Myers and Halloween.
Yeah, so Michael Myers is a horror movie character in the Halloween movie, I believe. It's called Halloween.
Okay. Thanks for connecting the dots. This guy sounds quite scary. And Mike Myers with that sidewinding kind of throw, he looks kind of scary too.
Yeah. So he was a pitcher, and his MLB debut was April 25th, 1995. For the Florida Marlins, now the Miami Marlins. His last MLB appearance was September 30th, 2007, for the Chicago White Sox. His win-loss record was, he was 25-24, he had an ERA of 4.29, and he had 429 strikeouts.
Did you know he's a World Series champion with the Red Sox in 2004 as well?
I did not know that.
All right, go ahead.
We should say the well-traveled Mike Myers. He's been on a number of teams.
Journeyman, yep. For sure.
The Florida Marlins, Detroit Tigers, Milwaukee Brewers, the Rockies, Diamondbacks, Mariners, Red Sox, Yankees, and the White Sox.
Well-traveled Michael Myers, and also a scary kind of guy, if you're thinking about Halloween, for sure. That's Ashton's silver medal. Now over to Dad for my silver medal. And Ashton, when we've gone on many jaunts together in the neighborhood during Halloween time, and it's always a special time to say trick or treat. Now, if the guy or the girl has been very good, they get a treat. Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you gotten a number of them over your lifetime?
Yeah.
All right. So the best ones are candy. So this brings me to my silver medalist, because my silver medalist for Halloween-inspired athlete names is the Candyman. That's right, everybody. John Candelaria, a left-handed pitcher. He made his MLB debut in 1975. His last appearance was with the Pirates, the same team he started with, on July 7th, 1993. John Candelaria actually pitched with the Blue Jays, Ashton. In 1990, he was an All-Star in 77, World Series champion in 79, and John Candelaria, the Candyman, definitely a sweet moment, August 9th, 1976, he pitched a no-hitter.
Wow.
There you go. All right, fans, it's now time for our gold medalists on Halloween-inspired athlete names. Ashton, take it away.
My gold medalist is Boo Weekly.
Well, you just scared me with that gold medalist. Tell the fans about Boo Weekly.
So he is a professional golfer who plays on the PGA Tour. His full name is Thomas Brent Weekly, but his nickname is actually Boo. So, yeah, that's his nickname.
Same age as me as well, too, Ashton. He's a 73 guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's...
And his nickname comes from Yogi Bear's sidekick, Boo Boo Bear.
Oh, Boo, okay. I think, actually, isn't that the nickname for one of your great chums, Aiden? I think his parents call him that. I'm sorry. Anyways, I digress. That is Ashton's gold medalist, Boo Weekly. Over to Dad for my gold medalist. And Ashton, when you go out on a Halloween night, you kind of wonder, it's so spooky out there. When you're in the dark night, and it gets more spookier when you look up into the sky with your baseball uniform on and you see a full moon.
Yeah.
So yeah. With that said, fans, my gold medalist is the legend who starred in the CFL and NFL, Warren Moon. Speaking of quarterback, Ashton, this guy was an absolute legend, Warren Moon. He competed and was a Grey Cup champion, Ashton, for the Edmonton Eskimos. That is Warren Moon. His number was 1, by the way. He competed with the Eskimos from 78 to 83. And then, of course, he took his great talents in Canada as a 5-time Grey Cup champion, 2-time Grey Cup MVP. He then moved over to the NFL, Ashton, and had an incredible career, first with the Houston Oilers, then with the Minnesota Vikings, then with the Seattle Seahawks, and then ended his career with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2000. He was a 9-time Pro Bowler, which means that he did amazing things, not only in Canada in the CFL, but stateside with the big NFL. That's Warren Moon. What a great way to end a very, very spooky and sensational Halloween-inspired athlete names tribute. All right, fans, we got lots more show to come. And you're listening to Episode 74. Ashton, you're going to take us to break.
This ends our father-son free-for-all segment. More father-son fun talk coming up. You're listening to the Champs and Chums podcast.
Father-son fun talk. You're listening to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. And Ashton, it's now time for a next edition of our Best Of segment. And what an outstanding guest we have for our fans this month. Hey Ashton, I got 2 questions for you, my man. Are you ready to toe the rubber on episode 74?
Sure am.
Are you ready to deal and go the distance here on Champs and Chums?
Of course.
Well, our very special guest takes the hill with Major League inspiring baseball pedigree, and he continues to deal in the zone as an accomplished manager and coach. our best of guests experience in the dugout with a major league team commenced and continued through high school years. He was hired as a bat boy representing the Tampa Bay Rays. In 2004, he was drafted in the 24th round of the Major League Draft by the Toronto Blue Jays. On May 15, 2007, our special guest made his Major League debut with the Blue Jays. He went 8 2/3 innings, the most innings pitched by any Blue Jay in his debut. Allowed only 4 hits, with only 2 walks and 1 run, while recording 21 of his 26 outs via groundouts. He joins a small, exclusive group in Blue Jays history to win his Major League debut. And his best of season was 2008, where he earned 13 Major League victories, posted a 3.58 earned run average, and registered 99 strikeouts. Injuries unfortunately cut short a promising career, all told 5 years of Major League service, all 5 in a Blue Jays uniform. On August 21st, 2014, he announced his retirement, and he was honored in Tampa, his home. He threw out the ceremonial first pitch of the Blue Jays-Rays game on September the 2nd, 2014. Our special guest has a love and leadership in baseball, and that didn't retire, and to this day, it keeps on going. He has served as a major league pitching coach with the Atlanta Braves and a manager across minor pro and premier college summer leagues across the United States. He coached middle and high school players at a major league baseball development center in China. In January 2016, he announced that he would be the pitching coach for the Philippine National Baseball Team in their World Baseball Classic qualifier. Other baseball leadership appointments include coach of the Bridgeport Bluefish, the Sanford River Rats of the Florida Collegiate Summer League, and the Williamsport Crosscutters in the MLB Draft League. And just recently, he was appointed new head coach of the Macon Bacon of the Coastal Plain League. Fans, it's time to go best of pitch with our chum Litch. Ladies and gentlemen, we're pleased to be joined by Major League starting pitcher and Blue Jays fan favorite, Jesse Litch. Jesse, welcome to Champs and Chums.
Appreciate you guys having me. Definitely loving it and looking forward to it.
Oh, it's so awesome, Jesse, to have you on the show. Episode 74, as we were talking off air, your co-hosts here, Anthony and Ashton, are big Blue Jay fans. I had the pleasure of watching you pitch live during your career. And to now hear how baseball continues to be such a big part of your life, it's just amazing to have you on. And of course, everybody, October here at the time of this recording with Jesse is a tremendous month for baseball and Blue Jays. So we feel we got a really great guest here, and it's great to have you on the show. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff, everybody. Well, listen, Jesse, we'll get into opening pitch here on our best of guest interview with you. It's Anthony and Ashton in the broadcast booth. It's Dad over here to the left of that broadcast booth. And Jesse, I just went over some of the illustrious accomplishments in your baseball career. I want you to take the listeners through your early and interest and ambitions to get into baseball, and of course that tremendous rise to become a major leaguer.
I mean, it obviously started at a young age. I mean, in Florida, we're pretty much able to play baseball year round, and it was something that I picked up from, I mean, probably two years old, playing in the front yard with my dad, and just kept it going. I mean, he was someone that he didn't necessarily push me to do it, but I loved the game, and he was able to play with me every day, and obviously it worked out for the best. But, you know, going from, you know, the front yard to the Little League fields to high school, middle school, like it was definitely a journey. I've obviously got a pretty unique story and that, all that, but you know, it's a journey always. I mean, no matter what age you're playing the game, it's fun. And if you're enjoying it, then it's definitely something for you. And I tell kids all the time, like, if you're not enjoying it, it might not be for you. It's not necessarily for everybody, but for me, it was something that I really enjoyed. Obviously I had my dad on my side to be able to you know, give me that passion as well and play with me and do all those things that needed. So that helped my progression throughout, you know, my childhood into my adulthood.
Yeah, absolutely. And you segued quite nicely into my next question, Jesse. I heard you talk about your dad, Rick, and, you know, doing just some research preparing for this. We know Rick had many, many talents, and baseball might not have been his first. I think he was like an accomplished musician as well, too. Had a couple great tracks as well. Was that right?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, he wasn't necessarily the baseball player.
Yeah.
But he knew the game. He was definitely a musician, got to play with some cool guys growing up. And, you know, he played, you know, throughout my whole childhood. That's kind of how he made a living, right? So I was always around that as well. I'm very much into music as well. But, you know, just always having time. It was just him and me pretty much. So, you know, being able to give me the time of day and play with me and still do his stuff on the side was great. And, you know, that's something you always look back on and you remember those days and you cherish them. And now, you know, having my own new daughter, you know, it's something that I get to look forward to as well.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And, I was going to mention that as well, too. It sounds like, your dad, Rick, was such a tremendous mentor in your life. And then, yeah, fans, if you didn't know this as well, too, Jesse and his wife were just blessed to welcome only just on December 8, 2024, young Lydia into the world. So welcome to the big bright world of life and love to Lydia. It must have been just really special bringing her into the world as well. And she's so young, but thinking about those great memories of your dad.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been good so far. We'll put it that way. Like, obviously, no clue what she's going to do yet. I mean, she's going to pretty much do what she wants to do at this point. No forcing. I mean, if she plays softball, great. If she plays baseball, even better. Like, that's something, obviously, it's becoming more of a thing. But, you know, she can be a musician. She can be a cheerleader. She can do whatever. No pushing. And, you know, hopefully, you know, regardless, it's the same thing my dad did for me. It's just having your back with whatever you decide to do and moving forward with it.
Yeah,
and
that's
just supporting it.
That's right. That's right. Great words there. And, you know, we talk a lot about on Champs and Chums, the greatness and the importance of mentors. And, you know, you spoke about your dad there. Were there some other mentors in your life? How did they help you build success as a ball player and a leader on and off the field?
I mean, there's definitely, I mean, the big one is my dad, obviously, but like, I mean, throughout the, you know, the minor leagues, college, my college coach was great. Coach Hitt over at South Florida Community College or South Florida State College now, like he's still there currently. He definitely was a big guy for me in the growing up process through college and gave me, you know, my scholarship, was able to go play college and learn and get better. But like in pro ball, like you always remember that one guy, like, you know, there was a couple guys. Dane Johnson was big.
Oh yeah.
Antonio Caceres was a big one for me, but Daryl Knowles, I mean, he was my high A pitching coach. He pitched for the Oakland Athletics many teams back when.
That's right.
And, you know, I still remember to this day, like he was the high A pitching coach and, you know, he had my back and there was a lot of good things that we text each other today, to be honest. So like he's someone that I've always looked up to and, you know, we've kept in contact and, you know, there's always guys that come throughout your playing careers, your life that you'll remember for sure.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And the fact that these mentors, as you said, you're just, texting as well too with your chum to this day. I mean, that's what it's about, sports, life, and friendship, and that answer certainly colored that. Well, Jesse, he's tugging at me now, but the real star of the show, the co-host, who's actually prides himself on being a young starting pitcher himself, playing a couple years of competitive ball, is my 13-year-old son, Ashton, and he looks forward to jumping in this great chat with you right now. Ashton, take it away.
Well, Jesse, first off, I want to say it's great to speak with you on episode 74, and it's extra special for me being a pitcher and a huge Blue Jays fan as well. Jesse, you reached the pinnacle of baseball by making it to the major leagues and competing for 5 seasons, which were all with the Blue Jays. With that said, Jesse, what were some of the most memorable baseball moments in the majors or along the way to the show?
I mean, there's obviously big, big memories moving on up. My biggest memory ever, obviously, is my debut. Like, that was you know, my dad's birthday. Obviously, I went 8 2/3. I got a win. So, like, your debut is what you dream of, right? But, you know, moving up throughout, like, just, you know, getting a college scholarship, making the high school varsity team, like, all those things matter. And, like, they're all things that you strive to achieve when you're young. Like, and that's why I tell everyone, make goals, make dreams. Like, your dream is the ultimate, making it to the big leagues. Like, but you gotta achieve other goals on your way up to that ultimate goal. And, you know, just making the high school varsity team, then making a college and getting a scholarship, getting into pro ball, signing, like, all those are big steps in the right direction, but on the way to the ultimate goal.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Jesse, I am grateful to have great mentors in my life, and a lot of my inspiration comes from my dad. Now, with that said, Jesse, what were some of the greatest lessons and words of advice you shared with you by your father, Rick?
I mean, growing up a single dad, like, that's speaks for itself right there. I mean, having time for your kids and doing whatever it took to put food on the table and make sure that your kids are happy. Like, that stuff is huge. I mean, he was successful in his own means of what he did. And those are the things that, you know, growing up, you see that. It might not necessarily be sports. It's life, right? And seeing that stuff put forth in front of you, it helps you to, you know, achieve your goals, to strive towards the good stuff. And when it comes to, you know, him in general, just being present and pretty much, you know, doing what it took to get me what I needed, to play with me on the baseball field, throw me batting practice, play catch in the front yard. Those things all matter when you're a kid, and, you know, it makes a big difference. Getting me from, you know, home to a baseball game as a kid, like, parents are a lot, especially in this day and age with travel ball and everything, like, Without parents, it's tough to get to places.
Absolutely. Some really sparkling words there. You're listening to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. This is our best of segment. We're here with our special guest, Major League starting pitcher and Blue Jays fan favorite, Jesse Litch. Anthony and Ashton behind the microphone here. And Jesse, we were talking off air, and what's beautiful is that your love and leadership for baseball just keeps on going. And you've been spending time unlocking opportunity through your great talent and knowledge, helping develop young players with pro ball aspirations. And I wonder if you can put a bit more punctuation into the work that you're doing with young players, as young as 9 years old, as we were talking, team nine years old, we were talking off air. But yeah, just to put some more color into what you're doing there, and maybe some of the things that you're most proud of in developing these rising stars of the great game of baseball.
I mean, really, it's the love of the game in all aspects. Like, I mean, these kids, the nine-year-old team that I coach now, the Sanford Riverats 9U, like, we have our own Instagram page. We're good. Like, we got a good bunch of group for nine-year-olds. But, again, it's learning the game the right way. It's understanding the game and trying to, you know, learn from failure, because this game is a lot of failure. You know, with nine-year-olds, you're going to have a lot of failure. With 18-year-olds, you're going to have a lot of failure. It's just part of the game. You know, and then, you know, segueing into the actual college league, like, these kids are already in college and, you know, they all have the ultimate goal of playing in the major leagues. Like that's the ultimate goal, or signing professionally. Right. So it's really, what can I do as a mentor, as a coach, as a whatever it may be, to make that transition into pro ball easier? And that's kind of how I go about my coaching style. I have fun. I've always had fun. I was always the guy in the dugout having a good time, and I still do that to this day. Having a nice, fun environment makes it a lot easier to play comfortable and have not have as much worries on the field, right? So for me, you know, just teaching the game the right way and understanding that failure will be a big part of it. Like that goes a long way.
Oh, that's some great words there. And, you know, I'm sure those young boys really look up to you. A guy that's played in the major leagues has had some success, and being able to translate some of those great stories, lessons, as they say, discipline. Success doesn't come. Great success doesn't come from learning from without learning of failure. So that's some amazing words. And yeah, I'm going to have to check out that Instagram page there, the Sanford River Rats 9U team fans. Check it out, because Jesse and his coaching staff are doing some incredible work there. So that's amazing. Jesse, I want to shift gears to your time as a Blue Jay. And of course, here we are in the month of October. Our Blue Jays are World Series bound. The country is electric. The stadium is electric. And we're talking to a special guest who has had the honor of pulling on that Blue Jay uniform for 5 seasons. And I wonder if you can talk about what you've taken and maybe some of your past history pitching in front of the Toronto fans, how they've been, how the boys are feeling right now. You're a pro. You've been there. And what do you make of this 2025 turnaround by the Blue Jays? I don't think anybody would have thought that a team that won 74 games last year is now up against the LA Dodgers trying to win the big title. So what do you make of all this being a Blue Jay fan favorite?
I mean, realistically, it's an amazing turnaround. I mean, they deserve everything that's coming to them. And the team itself has been playing, they've been gelling well together. And like, that's the thing, is if you gel well together, good things happen. And that's when I'm managing and I'm coaching, those are the things that I take. Like, I want the team to gel well together because that goes a long way, right? So with that team, like, I mean, everyone, one guy gets a hit, it keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going, right? So, you know, and obviously, you know, the Springer home run was amazing. Like, that's the, you know, the new swing of the 2020s, right? Like, I mean, you had Bautista and then you had Carter before that. So, like, these home runs are huge, and you're not just playing for, you know, you're not just playing for Toronto. You're playing for a whole country, really.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of playing for the Canadian team, right? Like you're actually playing for a whole country, and that makes it fun. Obviously, the Toronto fan base is amazing in itself. Like, I was never fortunate to make the playoffs when I was there, but you know, you already knew that. If you did, it was going to be electric because we were electric without it. And that's the thing, is it makes it a lot more fun to play, and it makes it a lot easier to perform because you're actually being supported by, you know, everybody there. And again, the whole country,
yeah.
You know, as a team, they're going to be great. I mean, I hopefully they win. I mean, obviously their pitching staff is doing well. Their bats are good. So there's a lot of positives to be said right now on this whole process. And, you know, whether they pull out or not, I think regardless if they win or don't win, it was one of the most successful stories in Blue Jays history, to be honest.
Oh, no doubt about that, Jesse. I wonder if I can follow up with a bonus question here, because it really connects. I mean, you went legend in that first game, your debut in the major leagues, one short of a complete game. I mean, you were just rock solid, like virtually going the distance. And I think about 22-year-old Treya Savage, who was just named starting pitcher, all of 22 years old. I mean, stepping in late in the season to boot, Jesse. I'm wondering if there's any words of advice that you would share with a guy like him. You've been there. You've been there in those big moments on the mound and doing great things as a rookie. Well, what kind of advice would you share with him as he gets ready for another big world-class pitching performance?
I mean, really, it's just be yourself. You don't change anything. You're there for a reason. You're pitching in this game for a reason. You've earned this spot. Don't try and change it now. And that's really all I would say, because he's going to go out there and perform. Like, that's, he has to. I mean, realistically, it's his job now, but like, he's earned this spot. He's pitched well enough to get here. And I mean, where he's come from A ball this year to get to this point is crazy, you know, and it's something to be said about the Toronto organization. Obviously, he was the first rounder for a reason. So he's got the stuff. The advanced scouting reports aren't as much out there right now because he is new. So there's a lot to be said for them starting him. And, you know, they're ready. I mean, that's, they wouldn't be in this situation if they weren't ready.
Yeah, great words there from a Blue Jay fan favorite who was on the mound representing the Jays fans. Ashton, over to you. We've got a few more questions here. It's already been a sparkling best of segment.
Jesse, it takes another level of dedication and an incredible commitment to become a major leaguer. So with that said, Jesse, can you share with the fans a day in the life preparing for a starting assignment as a player and a game day as a manager as well?
I mean, as a player, you know, it varies from position player to pitcher. Obviously, I was mostly a starting pitcher, so I knew what days I was throwing, so I was able to prepare differently than relief pitchers per se. But like for me personally, like we all have our superstitions. I say superstitions for a reason. They're superstitions, but we call them superstitions. For me, like I had to, you know, I had to wake up. I had to have a ham and cheese omelet all the time every morning when I pitched. I would always, you know, go walk around the mall, whatever city I was in, and just show up to the field 3 hours before the game and go do all my advanced report stuff. Relievers, like I was a relief pitcher for a couple months, and it was different because you had a potential to pitch every day. So, like, you got to make sure your body's maintained. You got to make sure you're ready to roll. As a position player, like, you're in the lineup. Starters are in the lineup. So take care of your body. Be ready to play. Do what you need to do to keep strong, keep your you know, your focus, and be ready to roll. Me personally, as a manager, like making the lineup, if you put the right group together, making the lineup's easy. You just put whoever on the field and good things are going to happen, right? So, and I feel like that's the way right now with the Blue Jays. Like, whoever they put on the field right now is going to be successful. And that's the easy teams to manage. It's the ones where you got to figure out the rest of, like, being a manager is not necessarily hard until you get to around the seventh inning, when you got to figure out the bullpen. You got to finish the game. And that's where it becomes a different mindset.
Jesse, that's a really rich perspective. And I think evidence of all of that great behind the scenes fans, we're getting the head and the mind of a pro ball player and someone who's actually managing and coaching as well too. I mean, there's so many evidence of what you were just saying, like guys like Chris Bassett, who has had to change up their preparation, but he's sort of, I think Schneid's said, you know, he does weird well, this Chris Bassett, right? So that's kind of one example of a guy that was a starting pitcher. Now, when the stakes are higher, he's jumping in. I think, what did he come into the seventh or eighth inning in game seven? So that's that. And then you talk about being a manager, and you would know this best. I love those words that you said. It's kind of, once you get the lineup going, you just, you know, you play it out, but then it gets tougher in those, I guess, late stages of a game. Can you talk a little bit about that? It does get quite difficult, and we know that there's a lot of critics in the world of listen to a guy like Schneider. It's not easy, is it?
No, for sure. I mean, mine's a lot less stressful than his, I'm sure. but you know, that's why you put a good staff around you. I mean, you got to trust your coaching staff. I mean, that's a big thing. Like, if you're not trusting your coaching staff, it's tough. So, you know, and that's where you see them in the dugout. You see them talking all the time. There's a reason. He's in Pete Walker's ear all the time. He's in Mattingly's ear all the time.
Don Mattingly, yeah.
All that stuff goes together. Yeah. And so, like, you have to just trust your staff. You got to trust everything. And you know, you're going to win, you're going to lose. Like, it's all part of it. But, you know, learning from whatever the mistakes may be and moving forward, that's all.
I'm curious too. You know, obviously you're the manager, head coach for major development leagues in the United States, and you are working to develop sort of the next rising star. As a manager and head coach, what do you feel about analytics? Do you incorporate that with the teams that you lead?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in the draft league, we did for sure. You know, not as much in the Florida Collegiate League, but like. You have it all over. Like, there's a reason we have analytics teams. Like, they utilize it to the 10th degree. They have to, because you know advanced. You know, you have advanced scouts. You got advanced stuff. Like, there's a lot of things that go into play, and those you have to utilize to make your team better. So it's all talked about throughout.
Good stuff. Jesse, I'm watching the clock, and I know we only had you for some limited time because I know you have another engagement. Two more questions. This one's a fun one. Doesn't need to be a ball player. Maybe it won't be a ball player, fans. We'd love to know some of Jesse Litch's favorite all-time athletes and why.
I mean, my all-time favorite is Barry Larkin. I grew up a Barry Larkin fan, and it's still to this day he's the guy that always was huge for me. You know, there's tons of – I mean, Michael Jordan was huge. But, you know, Barry Larkin was always my favorite player growing up. Like, it's simple. There's no ifs, ands, buts. I was able to play golf with him a few months back, which was awesome. But, you know, he was a guy that never necessarily had the best talent but always got the stuff done. And, you know, that speaks for itself, and that's kind of how I like to go about my lifestyle as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I remember Barry Larkin at short just making some amazing plays and definitely had the offensive pedigree as well, too. Well, fans, it is now time for the final pitch. It's the final question in this tremendous best of guest interview with Jesse Litch. And Ashton, take it away and fire away.
Jesse, what advice do you have for young kids looking to become a major leaguer and baseball leader just like you?
I mean, always strive toward your dreams. Like, put your mindset towards it, chase it, have fun doing it. Like, that, I'm a big believer in having fun. Like, this game's a fun game, and you need to have fun playing it. But don't be scared to chase your dreams. Like, that's huge for me. If you have aspirations to be a major leaguer, go chase it. Be it. Whether it's, you know, whatever you're doing in life, if you want to be a gymnast, if you want to be a soccer player, an astronomer, like, chase your dreams. Go after it.
Oh, that's an amazing way to end a tremendous best of segment. That is Major League starting pitcher, Blue Jay fan favorite, Jesse Litch, joining us on episode 74, Champs and Chums. And Jesse, on behalf of Ashton and I want to thank you so much for giving us your time. You know, it's you mentioned making baseball fun in the way that you lead, and you made this segment so much fun and obviously so insightful with all of the rich information and perspectives that you shared here in this segment. We wish you continued success. You got this new leadership appointment in the Coastal Plain League. You've just become a dad recently as well, too, with young Lydia. So there's many amazing things that are going well for you, and we wish you continued success. And he's tugging at me right now, but Ashton wanted to say a few words of thank you to you as well.
Well, Jesse, first off, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. It's been an honor having you on. And Jesse, your best of words of advice and the way you prepare for game day as a player and as a manager as well helps me as a pitcher and also a first baseman, and gives the fans really great insight and behind the scenes as well, which can help me a lot throughout my baseball career. So Jesse, thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, good stuff. Let's go Blue Jays. Ashton, you're going to take us to break here on episode 74.
This ends our father-son best of segment. More father-son fun talk coming up. You're listening to the Champs and Chums podcast.
Welcome back to Champs and Chums. Happy October, everybody. We hope you're doing well. It's Anthony and Ashton in the broadcast booth, episode 74. So glad that you're with us. And Ashton, it's now time for our All Pro Go segment. And our All Pro Go segment, fans, is a Did You Know Sports Spotlight, where Ashton gets an opportunity to share an activity, an initiative, a game, a sport. And this one actually, Ashton, on the heels of a great best of guest interview with a Blue Jay fan favorite, Jesse Litch, we wanted to go the baseball route. And Ashton, I don't know if you've done this, but it's a special practice activity in baseball. It's called Pepper. Ashton, why don't you share more with the fans about the great legendary game of Pepper? And first of all, have you played it?
I don't think I have, but...
You heard of it, though?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay.
It sounds pretty similar to stuff we've done before.
All right, take it away with Pepper.
Pepper is both a common batting and fielding exercise and a competitive game in baseball, during which one player hits brisk ground balls to a group of fielders who are standing nearby. So the exercise for this is, Pepper is a common pregame exercise in which one player hits brisk grounders and line drives to a group of fielders who are standing about 20 feet away. The fielders throw balls to the batter, who uses a short, light swing to hit the ball on the ground towards the fielders. The fielders field the ground balls and continue tossing the ball to the batter. This exercise keeps the fielders and batter alert and helps to develop quickness and good hand-eye coordination. So this is the game style of it. Pepper is also a competitive game in which a group of fielders stand in a line 15 to 20 feet away from a batter. One end of the line is the front, and the other is the back. One of the fielders throws the ball to the batter, who attempts to hit grounders and to the fielders and standing in the line. When a fielder cleanly plays the ball, he throws it back to the batter, generally as quick as possible. The batter then tries to hit the ball again to the fielders. If the fielder makes an error in fielding the ball, he must move to the back of the line. If the batter hits a foul ball, generally hits it behind him or strikes swinging at the ball, he is retired as a batter, becomes a fielder, and moves to the end of the line. The fielder at the front of the line then becomes the batter. If the batter hits a line drive or pop up towards the fielders, whoever catches the ball, regardless of the position in line, becomes the new batter. The batter moves to the end of the line.
There you go, fans. That is the fun practice, I guess, and game of Pepper. And this is baseball-related, fans. We're going wall-to-wall baseball here on episode 74. Now, Ashton, given what you've just read about Pepper, I mean, maybe this could be a potential suggestion to the coaching staff of the Royals.
Yeah, possibly. I know we do pre-game grounders, but I'm not too... I don't believe this is kind of the variation of what we do before the games.
I think you're right. All right, good stuff. That was our baseball-inspired All-Pro Go. And we got a lot more show to come. You're listening to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. Father-son fun talk. You're listening to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. And Ashton, it's now time for our signature segment. That's right, everybody. It's our Champs and Chums segment, where we salute our stars on and off the field. And I mentioned earlier, and you've heard it through this entire entertaining episode 74, We've gone wall-to-wall baseball. It's baseball time. It's baseball fever. It's Blue Jays fever because your Toronto Blue Jays are in the World Series. And we're hoping for big things. And it's really important for us to shine a light on the Blue Jays. We just had a great best of guest, Jesse Litch, Blue Jay fan favorite, the starting pitcher. And we, Ashton and I, thought long and deep that we've had, Ashton, a World Series lineup of special guests who have been affiliated and associated with Blue Jays baseball.
Yes, we have. We've had a lot of best of guests.
So we're going to give a brief summary and shout out to these champs and chums who've been on the show and they've had a hand in Blue Jays baseball. Ashton, who is... Now, is it 11, I believe?
Yes, 11.
So we got a deep lineup. We've gone best of. We're not taking the field with 9 players. It's 11 exceptional players. Who's our first? Who's batting leadoff?
Batting leadoff is our episode 20 best of guest, Rob Butler.
Well, how appropriate, because for much of his career in the minor leagues, not sure about the pros, but Rob Butler actually batted leadoff, Ashton, because he had the wheels. And he had the timely hits, and how amazing that we start off with Rob, because Rob was a World Series champion from 93, starred with the Jays, now obviously doing great work with young kids through his academy, but also serves as the manager of the Toronto Maple Leaf, in the Inter-County League, Ashton.
Yeah, we went down to go watch a game, and it was great baseball.
It was tremendous baseball. Rob Butler, World Series champion, former Blue Jay, now the field manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's a great reflection on a salute to Blue Jays baseball. Ashton, who's batting second?
Batting second, our episode 24 best of guest, Eric Smith.
Well, of course, and Eric Smith, everyone would know the great Eric Smith for all the great works he does on Raptors play-by-play. He's been doing it for years.
Yep.
In fact, he's got a book coming out. Fans, you got to check it out. He did a great, he's got a book coming out in November. That's great interviews with 30 Raptors players, right? So it's going to be an amazing book you definitely want to check out. But now let me bring it back to the Blue Jays. The last couple seasons, Eric Smith has been a broadcaster, the backup guy for Ben Schulman.
Yes, I remember listening to a few games of Blue Jays baseball.
He's had
on
some
the radio.
Great home run calls,
yeah,
Eric
great,
Smith.
Great home run calls. And, yeah, we've heard him plenty of times on the radio.
Good stuff. That's Eric Smith, the great Eric Smith, episode 24, and also a great Blue Jays baseball broadcaster. All right, Ashton, third in the lineup.
Batting third, our episode 34 best of guest, Mike Wilner.
Of course, Mike Wilner, who's doing some amazing things with the Toronto Star. He's got his own. He's the columnist for baseball. Has got the very popular podcast Deep Left Field. Mike Wilner was a broadcaster for your Toronto Blue Jays on the radio side, and of course is very much involved covering the team. Mike's seen and done it all in baseball, and he's such a great guy, and it was good that he came on the episode number, Ashton?
34.
Mike Wilner. There we go. All right, batting cleanup, I guess, number 4.
Yeah, batting cleanup, episode 38, best of guest, Rod Black.
The legend, Rod Black, has done so many things. We were so grateful to have him up on the show, episode 38. I mean, this guy has broadcasted in the Olympics. He's done hockey. He's done golf. He's done tennis. He's done figure skating. This guy... has and CFL football, how he can, I forget. But let's not forget, fans, Rod Black was one of the early broadcasters when Sportsnet TSN. Rod Black was a broadcaster. And in fact, the color analyst at the time for Rod Black, his name is coming up a lot this month, was Joe Carter. Did you know that, Ashton?
I did not know that.
CTV Sportsnet. Yeah, there you go. Rod Black, The Legend, episode 38. Who's next down the lineup there?
Now batting fifth, our episode 49 best of guest, Barry Davis.
The great Barry Davis, the field reporter, did such an exceptional job on Blue Jays broadcast. I've heard his name talked about a lot on social because the last time, Ashton, the Jays made a deep run, it wasn't Hazel May that was on the field doing the interviews. It was Barry Davis.
Yes.
Our episode 49 best of guest. And yeah, Barry, who just a tremendous guy, did amazing work on The Fan. Is obviously an accomplished musician, still has a voice to play in sports, and what a great guest he was, Barry Davis.
Yeah, we also got to see him in our city of Brampton.
That's right. Barry Davis, great performer. You're going to have to check it out. His calendar is getting real full already for the summer. So Barry Davis, a great accomplished professional, and the great stuff he did on Blue Jays baseball.
So, batting sixth now, our episode 50 best of guest, Jay Jackson.
Well, it was great to have Jay on the show. Milestone episode 50, Blue Jays fan favorite, was a very serviceable pitcher in the bullpen. Great major leaguer, retired, and now has got his own academy, Ashton. Jay Jackson. Just a tremendous guy. All the things he's doing with his foundation and his baseball academy, big things. Jay Jackson, thank you so much, episode 50.
So now batting seventh is our episode 53 best of guest, Roger LaJoie.
The great Roger LaJoie. You're hearing him on the airwaves talking about Blue Jays baseball on the Fan 590. But fans, this, if you didn't know this, Roger LaJoie, I think it's north of 20 years, Ashton. Roger LaJoie is the official scorer of your Toronto Blue Jays. And it was really great last summer to catch up with Rog. He had us up in the booth and he showed you around there, Ashton.
Yeah, it was really nice to get a behind the scenes on game day of what it's like for the Blue Jays scorer.
That's right. And he was the guy, I guess you remember when Yasavage was dealing and he had that close to a no-hitter. He called the error on was it Barger or Vladdy? Somebody got an error on that one.
I think it was Vladdy.
It was Vladdy. Yeah. He called the error, I think it was. And that's what he is. Roger LaJoie is a pro. So entertaining. You hear him on the Fan 590. There's so much, been doing so much great work for years, an accomplished author and scorer for the Toronto Blue Jays. Ashton, over to you.
Batting eighth, our episode 57, best of guest, Tim Langton.
Well, geez, we talk about going up to the press box and people having big positions and big roles for Blue Jays baseball. What a great segue from the official scorer to the stadium voice who we had on episode 57, you said there, Ashton, right?
Yep, 57.
57, Tim Langton, those dulcet tones. And Ashton, he had us up in his area there. What was the experience being like up there with a long time Blue Jay Stadium voice?
It was amazing. We got to see what it looks like in the bigger office beside him, which I'm pretty sure is all the technical stuff for the Rogers Center. And his space is pretty small, but he has a big job for sure.
And a big booming voice. And I got to say, he must be feeling, well, it's kind of tiring, I guess, but he brings it every game. And I can't wait to hear the beautiful voice of Tim Langton as he announces Blue Jays baseball at the Rogers Center.
Now batting ninth, our episode 62 best of guest, Emily Agard.
Well, what a pro, what a talented young media star and personality she is. It was so great to have Emily Agard on the show. The episode number again, Ashton, for the fans?
62.
62. And, yeah, like, I mean, Emily has starred on Blue Jays broadcast throughout the entire season, and she's still doing some things. She's not on the main broadcast for the playoffs, but she's doing a number of promotions and events with Rogers for the fans. So Emily Agard, tremendous guest, a great interviewer, just a great personality, a great person. And shout out to her for being of amazing Guyanese heritage as well too, Emily. And thank you for making the time to come on the show, because we had a chance to meet Emily. It was the last game of the season, and your dad just figured we got to make our best of pitch. It is Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah. So it was, I believe,
last
game of the season last year. So Fan Appreciation Day. And we saw her in the parking garage where we always park, the M-Park parking garage.
Shout out to the fans there, for sure. We had a great chat with her. Told her about our father and son passion project. Told her we'd love to have her on the show, and she made it happen. We made it happen. So grateful for her time. She is an amazing, amazing professional in the broadcast field, Emily Agard. Okay, Ashton, who's next on our salute to Blue Jays baseball?
Batting 10th, our episode 66 best of guest, Paul Romanuk.
The great Paul Romanuk. You might know him a lot for hockey. All the stuff he did for TSN, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet. He joined us on an episode number again, Ashton?
Episode 66.
How magnificent that was, because he was one of the guys that called not only Austin Matthews' first goals, but he called one of the great Mario Lemieux goals, I believe, when he came back from cancer. Nonetheless, I digress. The Blue Jay connection is that Paul Romanuk hosted Baseball Tonight on the TSN broadcast when TSN had the rights for baseball. I bet you didn't know about that because of all his great hockey stuff. Paul Romanuk came on episode 66 of Champs and Chums, and that was a fun video promo we did because we went right back to his roots where it all started in Oshawa when he was the broadcast voice of the Oshawa Generals. Shout out to Carter. Shout out to Carter the Oshawa Generals, the PR guy. Forgetting his last name, Ashton.
Carter Smith.
Carter Smith. Shout out to Carter Smith for allowing us to get in to the venerable Oshawa Civic Arena, the Tribute Community Center. What a facility that was. And we were up there announcing Paul Romanuk.
Yeah, it was a great promo.
All right, and we have the final on this great and deep lineup of special best of guests who've been related to Blue Jay baseball. Ashton, who do we end with?
Batting 11th, our episode 74 best of guest, Jesse Litch.
Of course, this very episode 74. What a treat it was to have a Blue Jay starting pitcher and Blue Jay fan favorite on the show. A guy that provided so much insights in terms of what's in the head of a major leaguer. And he's now doing amazing things as a manager and coach in collegiate ball. Got a great opportunity as the field general now in the Coastal Plain League. And he just became a dad in December, Ashton. So many great things happening for Jesse Litch, and it was so great to have him on the show. Wow, that is a deep lineup on our salute to Blue Jays baseball on our Champs and Chums segment, and we got a little bit more show to come. You're listening to episode 74 of the Champs and Chums podcast. Welcome back to Champs and Chums, and Ashton, it's now time for our final pitch here on episode 74, and we're concluding the show. We're here at the final inning, and I've done it for all 73 previous episodes, now making it happen on episode 74. I ask you a very important question. Ashton, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned more about Jesse's early interest to get into baseball. So when Jesse was 2, he started to throw the baseball with his dad in his backyard, and really from there, his love and just inspiration and passion for baseball just really started to take off.
Yeah, it really started to arrive then, and it's great to hear the father-son memories he had and the real recognition he gave to his dad. And I mean, listen, there's an example of a story of believing in yourself, Ashton, with Jesse Litch. I mean, you know, he talked about being introduced to sport at a very young age, talked about playing Little League, found that he had some talent, moved through the college route in the States, and was able, as a 24th round pick. Now, that's something special. He got drafted in the 24th round of the MLB draft, and he made the show, Ashton. Like, yeah. That's incredible. The grit, the determination, the relentless ability to prepare and to take advantage of every moment you got.
Mm-hmm.
This guy did it, and what a major league debut he had. Unfortunately, his career got cut short by injury and such, so it was only 5 years of service, but the Jays fans loved him. He always had such, well, you could tell he was having fun out there, right? And they mentioned that on the show. So it's great to have Jesse Litch on. Ashton, what else did you learn today?
Well, I learned more about the great practice activity called Pepper.
That's right. You know, you kind of educated me there in that All-Pro Go segment. That's what we do in that segment. And maybe this is something you can introduce to your Royals teammates.
Yeah, possible new suggestion at practice for the 14U AA Brampton Royals, possibly. It sounds like a fun game.
That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Keep going.
Yeah, and it's not really what we've done before the games, but we just hit grounders. We get grounders, we receive grounders. But it does sound really fun, incorporating us being batters as well, and our teammates being the fielders. And I like the one where it's like a competitive game and you switch.
That's awesome. Well, listen, it has been an incredible episode 74, Champs and Chums. And Ashton, who do we want to thank for helping us produce the show?
We want to thank the Power Girls and Uncle Dennis who helped produce the show.
That's right. Power Girls, Uncle Dennis, thank you so much for being there right from day one where we pressed play. And thank you all for your love and support. We want to thank MLB starting pitcher, Blue Jay fan favorite, so special to have him on this October episode, Jesse Litch, for coming on the show. And Ashton, where can the fans subscribe and check us out?
They can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Play, SoundCloud, and many more worldwide podcast platforms.
Many more worldwide podcast platforms. Champs and Chums is on. And fans, you can check us out on social. We're on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, TikTok, at Champs and Chums, our website, champsandchums.com. All right, Ashton, this is going to be an operative, an opportunistic, an outstanding, an overwhelming October signature fist bump, my man. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And Ashton, as we always say,
cheers to champs, cheers to chums, and cheers to an all-star day.
Thanks for listening.